You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to a very special episode of the Line of Vienna Suite podcast. On Saturday, myself, Will, Tom, James and Eddie were fortunate enough to be able to interview a bona fide Bolton Wanderers legend, Kevin Davis. It is all about his time at Bolton, his England cap, what he thinks of Dougie Freeman and, of course, that goal against Bayern Munich. Without further ado then, here's episode 127 of the Line of Vienna Suite podcast with Super Kevin Davis.
We'll say congratulations on becoming the player of the decade as voted for a lot of fans. That must be such a fantastic honour for you.
Yeah, it was good actually. I mean, I picked up on Twitter and got all my family to vote. But, you know, it's nice obviously to have these polls and be recognised by, you know, the fans here. Obviously, it was a great period of time. I've done quite a few sort of interviews recently, you know, picking a best 11, and it's full of Bolton players. So we had a, you know, a great team. And, you know, we look back over those years and we had success, and obviously it's difficult now, but it was a good period for the club, I think.
Yeah, I'll say there's two standout highlights in the decade anyway. We'll go firstly with the England call-up.
Yeah.
And what was that like as an experience, firstly, to get the call-up, and how did everyone at Bolton react to it?
Yeah, I think for me personally, obviously very proud to get the call, being in sort of a lot of the standby squads alongside Gary Cahill at the time, and obviously he made an impression and went on to captain, which was brilliant. But yeah, a bit frustrated around the period, just you want to get that opportunity to try and get, then obviously you get a little bit older and older, you think the opportunity's going to go, but it was nice to get the call up, and the whole week I just went down with the mentality to work hard, try and make an impression, try and stay in the squad, which I'm a bit disappointed I wasn't actually, because I thought I did okay, but that's the way football went, but it was nice to get down there, and obviously a big time for my family and everyone and friends, you know, a lot of us travelled down for the game. I can't remember too much about the game actually coming on, and I don't think I've actually ever watched it back. there's a few videos from, you know, the family in the crowd that it's coming on and stuff, and it's just nice to get on there and get a cap, even though it's only the one, really.
I think one of the overriding memories, and I think we said this before, is there was a Stoke game, I think, that we had the weekend after, and the announcer then, when your team's being read out, is "and England international."
I probably missed that one.
Well, no, the roar that we had there was like, we saw a goal. I mean, from a fan's perspective, it sort of highlights the great relationship that you had with
I kind of felt that from the fans as well. You know, so when, you know, you go back and look over reports and look over Twitter and whatever, and everyone was just so pleased, and I think that was quite nice. And I did actually feel that from the fans, that they were so proud that, you know, I was captain at the time or whatever, just to go and put the England shirt on, because they all know, or kind of knew probably what it would have meant to me, really. So it was good actually. So just tried to enjoy the whole occasion and getting on. It wasn't the best game, if I'm honest, but had a little chance early on, which, you know, on a different day goes in. Goalkeeper did well, but, you know, it was a good experience, and obviously disappointed when the call came to Eldon in the following game. I think it was a friendly against France or someone. I was good to actually. That's how it goes.
Yeah, typical as well of a Bolton player, especially given your time in the career, getting bucked out in the English game as well.
I actually thought I was going to get sent off. So I was quite relieved when it was yellow. But the guy, we'd had a bit of experience playing in Europe here, and, you know, he made a loud scream, went down very over the top and fought in trouble here. But,
you must be used to those, though, all the time.
Yeah, but, you know, he's coming on, and it's, you know, you just kind of get a bit excited, and it's Wembley, and, you know, I just obviously went for the ball, just caught him with the forearm rather than the elbow, and he went down like a serious foot.
I was going to say, is there, like, can you differentiate the screen between a yellow and a red? I'm safe there.
it was a great way to finish. I remember just seeing all the family afterwards in the lounge, and, you know, the kids coming in and meeting some of the players that, you know, I've played against over the years. It was just brilliant for everyone involved, really. So, yeah, it was good.
But it must have been a great occasion, because I think sort of every kid's dream is to go out and play in front of Wembley, and just, you know, have that opportunity to go out there and play. It must have been.
Yeah, it was. I just remember just being in the dressing room, and the guys, the kid men were brilliant, you know, getting my shirt and going around getting signed by all the players. And I'm like looking, there's all bits of England kit on the floor, and I'm thinking, I'm just bagging it all. Like,
a horse. Too many bag comes out not two times the size that it was when we walked in.
Everyone's giving all the stuff, it's brilliant. So, good.
Did you feel as though that was the best football that you were playing in your career at that time?
I think so. I think, obviously, there's more to my game than the goals. I mean, I sometimes look back and think, you know, I didn't score a massive amount of goals, but it was, my game was a bit different, you know, in terms of bringing other people in and trying to, it was all about winning the games for me, really. The goals were just a bonus, but I think over that period of time, it was, you know, I was confident and playing well at the time, and you know, disappointed not to have gotten the squad a little bit sooner, if I'm honest.
I mean, there's a lot of bottom players, I think, that could say that around that time. Matty Taylor, Gary Cahill.
Yeah,
definitely. Kevin Nolan's not got an England cap. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Yeah, obviously. Definitely. I mean, he should definitely be given the opportunity, but, you know, football's can be painful sometimes, I'm sure. I'll be a bit disappointed, but you know, he had a great career as well, so hopefully I'll be back in England too much.
I know you wanted to go back into management, but when you first time, were there any offers there initially, or was it just coaching? Or
it was a weird one. Obviously, the way I left here, in my head, I would have left here.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't have left here. I'd have stayed here and retired here and gone on.
That's not going to happen.
Don't tell us that now.
The mentality was that I was going to, because of, not because I deserved anything, because I've done all my badges, you know, I've just been back to university and done a degree. I felt I would definitely have had something to offer. And at the time, doing the coaching was about getting a bit of an experience. It's hard work even to get in here, which is a bit of a disgrace, really. To even go and coach at the academy, I was having to go through the club and stuff, and having to, you know, almost like they're doing me a favour to let me go and coach the kids at the academy, which is just ridiculous. You know, it's what I could pass on to the kids in terms of them learning, and obviously me learning the job with some role maybe further down the line here was what I was thinking, but obviously things change quickly in football and you have to move on. So I always wanted to have a go at managing, and obviously the support job I applied for and got, it was a tough that's some fire in terms of where the club was. It was in a real big mess at the time, and a lot of sorting out to do. It took a good while to get through that and get the squad sorted, and obviously left at the end of that season, which was a decision made mutually by both of us, and we moved on and, you know, got the 8 months in there. I thought I did an okay job in the end. Actually, we started to turn it around and, you know, recruiting players for the following season, which we'd already done, which we were playing now, and I think they're doing okay at the moment. So managing was tough. I'm not sure where I'm going to go back down.
Is it something you're going to look to try and have another go at?
I'm not sure. It's not something at the top of my list at the moment. I think, you know, I wanted to give it a go and I gave it my all. I thought I did an okay job. You know, in terms of what I did at Southport, the process I put in place, it was a lot of hard, dirty work within a short space of time. It was tough. You know, managing upwards, the coaching and stuff was good fun. I enjoyed all the players stuff, but actually managing upwards and keeping a chairman who's putting a bit of money in happy was difficult. Keeping, you know, in terms of where they wanted to go very quickly, it takes a bit more time. But I think, you know, I enjoy the coaching. I enjoy my lads playing at the moment, so I'll go and join in and put a session on for them. Actually quite enjoy doing it with youngsters more than I did with, in terms of managing, and you have to make all those big decisions. It was hard even players out. I found it difficult. Right. That's just the way I am, really. So, like down there, you only get five subbed on a date. So.
It would have been great to have you back in the coaching setup. I think a lot of the fans are of the opinion that it'd be great to have a load of the ex-players come back. And whether it, you know, I think Yossi's been mentioned more than anyone really come back.
I bumped into Yossi doing the BT Sports stuff, and you know, it was Eric Rixon. I think he's not. Has he left there? I don't think he's gone to Shrewsbury, Sam, has he?
I'm not sure.
There's rumours he's going back home to Finland.
Yeah.
Because Will's still over there playing for Crewe quite regularly.
Yeah.
But if he's not, I mean, obviously there's someone in at the moment, but he should be just, you know, he should be passing on his experience, because Yusuf, as an example, was just an animal. The way he, you know, when I first came in 2003 pre-season, he was just a monster. The way Fred Barber was pre-season was tough anyway, but we go past the keepers and look at the drills they were doing, and he was just, you know, that's just where Yossi is. He wanted to be the best, incredibly hard working in the gym. He wanted to be the guy that lifted the most weights, the smallest, you know, 5k stronger, like Talbot and him coming, started annoying me, be in the middle trying to beat him. That's just the competitive nature Yossi was, but he you know, he should be used by the club. But it's a totally different debate. I mean, Stelios and people, Ricardo Garner, they found it hard to get access to the club to come in and you know, get the hours in for the coaching badges, Stelios, and you know, he's begging at times, which is just
it's so disappointing. Yeah. Especially when you see Stelios, I mean, was it the championship season? He was at the West Brom,
yeah,
the way, wasn't it?
Yeah,
there's still that affinity.
Yeah, it's about what we kind of created at that time. And I'm not saying, you know, I've had a few little debates about this on Twitter. It's not because you play there, you automatically deserve a job. You know, Stelios has got his pro license. You know, he's won seven leagues in Greece, won the Euros. He knows what he's talking about. He's a good coach. I've seen him working. So I just hope somewhere down the line, I know it's new owners, but they can kind of try and, if there's opportunities for players to get involved, just try and involve them somewhere.
There was a precedent.
You know, if they're the right person for the job, you know, come and have an interview or, you know, put your cards on the table. But they should. And I think for players as well, you see other players who have not done so much for a club, who've been there 3, 4, 5 years at other clubs, and they're going in there and they're almost ambassadors, and you're looking there thinking what we did for the club, and you get treated like the way we treat a bit. Yeah, it does hurt a little bit.
Because I mean, you look back through the years and you think there was great players in pretty much every era that we've had, but in terms of the era that you were part of, that was the first time, I think, probably that you had a full squad that were so recognised like that as a group. And I think to bring them back at a coaching level and have them, you know, brought back together, it'd be
I think it just felt like the whole club, the fans, the community, you know, the players, we were out there doing all the appearances, which we loved doing. All the staff, not just the support staff, but all the staff at the club, we'd have events throughout the year. It just felt like everyone was connected. It was a real, kind of, the soul was brilliant and stuff. And I think things changed over the years and it got pulled apart. And that was difficult to be part of. But that kind of the core and the heights when we, you know, get close to Champions League, it was just an amazing place to come in and work. It felt like everyone was just like connected in terms of the town. And what we were doing on the pitch, everyone sort of appreciated that. And we appreciated everything that was coming back to us as well. But obviously Sam created that.
Yeah.
And it was a special kind of thing. And that's why all these players that have, you know, won things around the world and things, just still got a fondness for the club.
I was going to say, because some of them even just followed Sam around, didn't they, after a while, and they were then following him around and thinking, well, if that works, then let's carry on for us as long as we can.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
it was a bit of a trailblazer, I think, Sam, in terms of what he created with the staff, because it was a great place to come in. We'd socialise together, you know, we'd go out for a beer after a win or whatever, coming on a Sunday a bit hungover, and Sam was there.
I wasn't hungover because he cares again.
There's a few little things there. You know, me and Kevin Noll got randomly tested for alcohol on a Sunday and a warm down. He'd swab you. My physio coming in, do it to Sam, he went bright purple. Me and Kevin would be a little bit pink, but you know, he encouraged the boys to, he almost said, yes, the young boys are quick, we have a good night out with the lads, and because we have that team spirit, it's important.
Yeah,
it's quite incredible, especially because it's quite an international contingent. Like, you obviously had Campo, Joe here, Falcacha, and then players joining later, international superstars like Nakata and all that sort of stuff. It's quite incredible that you got that team spirit and just kept pushing on for.
I think it's the staff, you know, player liaisons, all these kind of things. The families were looked after so that the player could then just focus on playing football.
Yeah.
So players just came in and they just found it quite easy to settle in. You talk about players coming in now, it might take them 6 months or 10 months when they're not doing so well, it's a bad sign in the end. But players could just come in and be part of the group, you know, straight into the group as a whole. They were, you know, it was a great dressing room, a good bit of fun in there, you know, stories and nights out. And, you know, we worked really hard as a group, and it was just easy for players to come in and settle. You know, in the area, Manchester, where they lived, they were looked after. You know, that's credit to the staff again that looked after us. We were kind of spoiled in a way, but we were sort of, everyone had their jobs to give us the success that we needed to go on and try and, you know, finish this.
Is that the kind of vibe you got when you first joined us for pre-season in 2003?
Yeah, just felt right, yeah. Sometimes it's a bit of luck, you just stumble, you know, being released from Southampton was difficult. I wasn't quite sure where I was going, but I always believed I could still play in the Premier League, and obviously Sam recognised that and gave me that opportunity, which I took, I suppose. It was a hard sort of pre-season where 4 sessions a day, got in shape, and obviously when he pulled me on the Friday before the Man U game, said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Yes, well, you'll be starting tomorrow." It's kind of worth it.
Baptism of fire,
yeah,
there, wasn't it? Man United.
Lost 4-0, but it wasn't.
It was an amazing season, though, that first season.
Yeah.
My big part of it as well. We played every game.
I think got to the cup final, which was a bit disappointing, but I think it's the first season to come in, and you know, it was difficult being released. I must say from Celtic, because it's kind of, you're not quite sure where the next contracts come in, and you think, oh, a Championship, League One, you don't quite know. But I think to come in, I just felt at home straight away with the players, the English lads in there, and the foreigners. It was just a great place to come and work, really.
Yeah. met George Burley, can't believe the mistake that he made. Because I remember reading that there was a first team versus reserve team game. Yeah, for Southampton, that's someone who didn't get picked. And
yeah, he got picked in the reserve team.
Exactly. Long finishing eighth. I mean, it's a bit of a...
Yeah, it's nice to mean,
Burnley, isn't it?
I did love my time at Southampton. Gordon Strachan was the manager that came in and I played two games in about a year and a half. Just didn't get on at all, really. So I went out on loan just to get some game time. Let people show I could still do a job, get fit, because I wasn't playing much. Went to Millwall on loan, did okay, came back and tried to get back in the squad and things, but I knew he was never going to get a contract there. So it was nice to go back the following season. I think I scored the winner. So I gave him a little bit of that.
Rightly so.
Great. But I think as the year progressed, just to go back to what we were saying about how easy it was to feel integrated, and obviously you felt that at the very start, and then obviously as the years went by, you then became the senior players, you and Kevin Nolan, and then you'd see the younger players coming in like yourself, and I'm sure you could sort of relate to that and think, you know, put an arm around them and just say, look, this is what we're all about, and, you know, it's great to see them sort of come through the same level, I guess. Isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have a good group of players, and I think as you get older, you get a bit more mature, and it takes... Yeah. You're still quite young, aren't you? But you get to your 30s and, you know, towards your 30s, you have children, you sort of changes a lot of your behaviours, I think, and you become a bit more responsible. I think you grow up, really.
Yeah, because obviously you went through and you had that game time out alone, and you think, well, you must have been there, you know how it's done, and
yeah.
You can sort of relate to that, I think.
Yeah, I did things when I was younger. I look back and think, what an idiot. You know, like Southampton, for instance, and Strachan, he wasn't picking me, I was just stomping off and getting in my car and blasting out the car park. And you look back and think, I was 20. Two or three, you think, oh, you know, stupid, just stay and support the boys. And but you can see that behaviour sometimes in some of the young players. You just say, hang on, mate, come here.
Yeah.
This, I know you're a bit, you know, upset, whatever, but just do this. And
yeah.
That's what you do. You go on your mistakes and you pass that sort of wisdom on to some of the younger players because you can see, you know, not playing or not being in the squads, it's upsetting. But you just say, look, when you get the opportunity, just keep working hard. And all these little things you're doing as a senior player, it just comes a bit more natural as you get older, and particularly if you're captain as well, you just feel a bit more sort of responsibility towards some of the younger players, and some of the older ones like Jufi had to try and control as well.
We're going to get
him on. He's got a few on that.
Imagine having him in the dressing room.
He was brilliant. He was, you know, he has his moments, and I think if you're a neutral looking, you think, oh, you went to show, but he was harmless, to be fair. He was just a big personality, and he was good for the dressing room, wasn't he?
Such a talented player as well.
He was, yeah.
To play off, it must have been, yeah.
He was clever, wasn't he? I mean, in today's day, he would be causing havoc with VAR, wouldn't he?
No.
He'd be on
it,
you know,
sausage
shirt
and everything.
For me, he was clever. He'd get his body in and he'd earn the fouls through his skill. It wasn't diving or anything, just being clever.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew how dangerous we were from set pieces, so he was good at that. And he was, obviously, his delivery was fantastic as well.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed being around him, actually. He was good company, yeah.
Because I was going to say both of your games were quite similar in that, you know, in nowadays football, it's been so different, the decisions given. I mean, how do you see your game being affected by VAR? You know, if that was in play 10 years ago, you know, how many, you know,
fouls would you have got?
Yeah,
I always feel, people bring that up, I was committed, I can't think of any moments where I've intentionally gone to hurt someone. I've always thought, it's a chance to get the ball, then the man. Which,
fair challenge, isn't it?
Yeah,
it
was, again,
it was just more of an unintentional reputation.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky I caught, you know, I was playing football in 93.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I'd grown up on a tough estate in Sheffield, and I was playing against boys who were, you know, 10 years older than me when I was 8, 9, so I was getting roughed up, and you had to be tough to not survive because it's not a war or anything, but, you know, you weren't allowed to shirk anything. That's where I learned to look after myself, really, but... I think now that you can see the force, when someone's going with a bit of force now, you're probably going to get sent off, I think, even if you take the ball first. So you have to adjust. The referees generally will come in at the start of the season and tell you about the changes that will happen in the season, and obviously the manager will pass them on, and you just say you've got to be careful not to do this or this because you're going to get yourself in trouble. So you've got to take those things on board.
You've got to adapt your game.
The heat of a battle,
or
a derby game or something, you know, you want to go and make a committed tackle, because that sometimes lifts the players, it lifts the crowd, even, you know, just...
Yeah.
it's not the best game, it's not going your way, that just give everyone a little bit of a lift. So,
it's the typical, let them know you're there first 5 minutes.
I think it detracts from the game not being able to have that kind of physicality, that aggression in it. Because you know, you're right, in this country, we absolutely love a tackle. The tackle that you did against Man City in that first 13 seconds. Yeah, well, that's the archetypal one, though, isn't it?
I'm looking
to
watch it back to what gets me going.
In this country, no other country would consider that to be a fantastic piece of play, and it's one of those things that everyone who was at that game
was as well. Just clips off him on the way out, I think. Yeah, I mean, that sets the tone, doesn't it? And we were on to win the game. I'm not saying that won us the game, but you kind of, the old team talks before the game was kind of Sam or someone saying, yeah, they're obviously a better team than us. We loved upsetting some of the big boys back then. It was kind of, who's going
to
put the first tackle,
yeah.
Who's going to hit them? And it was kind of staring my way, you know. I'm like, go on,
I'll take the round. Go on,
Coral, as soon as he gets.
Yeah,
you've convinced me.
Don't find me if I get it wrong. That was it. I mean, you've got to do what you've got to do. We, you know, there's no better feeling than being one of the top 4 6 teams or whatever. And used to hate coming to play. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
Sam loved getting one over Hoonier and Fergie and all those kind of people when he could.
Yeah, that was especially clear when Rio Ferdinand named you as one of his most hated players.
Oh, I'm still living off that one, yeah.
Screenshot. Same bucket as Lionel Messi. Lionel Messi should be so lucky.
It was like someone who had said something similar. I think ever recently had said, like, oh,
James,
I can deal with Messi, but James Milner, oh, it's nightmare. That's
how much of an attitude change was there in terms of a mentality going out, you know, trying to go in early doors between Allardyce to Megson to Coyle for you?
In terms of the team, or
so I know there was obviously a bit of a different style and
yeah.
different managers, but was there still that you know, aggressive physical mentality to go out and
yeah.
be bold and be awkward and
yeah,
try to rough
so.
Up the big boys?
I think so. I think you have to. I mean, you should be doing that for every game, really. But you know, always when there's a big team coming, the atmosphere around the place is a bit bigger. The lights are on, all you know, the evening games are always a bit special. I think I always enjoy playing in that. Kind of, and it's easy to get up for, isn't it? That's the obvious
yeah.
as a player when you. Against them, or it's on TV or whatever. It's a big game. It's just a nice feeling to get one over them. On Arsenal, Liverpool, all those teams, Man City. Game. It's just, I don't know. Some managers will prepare differently. They'll go a bit more negative and maybe sit back because they don't want to lose. Sam saw it as an opportunity to win. We fancy ourselves against anyone at the time. Just get out on the front foot. We're at home. You know, let's have a go. Get in the faces. Get set pieces, and we'll do a job. So. It depends where you are in the league, you know. If you're struggling, obviously we start to, you know, the mixing. It was about staying in the league rather than trying to get to Europe. You have to change your game plan a little bit depending on where you are in the league as well. Sometimes.
Do you think it was an opportunity missed not buying those players? And was it the 2007? I think that January is when Sam decided that
yeah.
he was going to go because we didn't really push for the Champions League.
I think so. I think that was the nail in the coffin for Sam, wasn't it? In terms of trying to match his ambition, I think. Done all the maths, hasn't he? If we'd have finished fourth, I mean, God, I'm not sure how the chairman would have coped at the time. He's worried enough about playing in Europe because of the effect it can obviously have in terms of the Premier League status, the extra games, travelling. And I think that was a concern for the club at the time, saying we almost don't want to qualify. And that's, you know, as fans, you look back at the times we had playing in Europe, it was amazing. And we actually obviously sacrificed the run because we had to stay in the league in the end, which was disappointing. I think I was reading one of the articles from Ian Venner earlier saying, you know, what could have been, you know, could we have stayed up and gone to Lisbon, which I remember not travelling, wanting to go, being left at home and then losing to Wigan at the weekend. It seemed like, God, it backfired totally on the manager. But at the end of the day, excuse me, we stayed in the league. Gary Mixon got his bonus, blah, blah, blah. He's on Tampa, weren't he? So.
Just sort of on that topic with how things change with managers, I've always wanted to be like, as a fan, you just want to be a fly on the wall in the change room. And I've always sort of just wanted to know how the team talks differ, you know, between managers. You know, you must see him come in first day of training and you must think, oh, this is different. You know, the talking is completely different. You know, what sort of the main features of a team talk that might change between managers?
I think they all vary. I think, you know, people expect the teacups flying around and it's not very often you see that. I think unless you're having an absolute shocker, 3-4-0 down, it's been on the receiving end of too many of those really in half time after the game. The silent treatment's almost as bad, really.
Yeah.
You don't come in and give a stare, it's kind of head down, don't get eye contact.
Yeah.
You know it when you're
yeah,
playing
yeah. It wasn't my fault, he was him over there.
Throw him under the ball sides.
Yeah, but I think I've only had a few of those over the past where one player started answering back and it's like the players would just go over and just say, be quiet.
Yeah.
Get into that with the manager or just assistant manager or someone, it's not the right time, just directly after a game, you know, calm down, watch the video back and just sort it out on the Monday morning.
It's all about listening, I guess, isn't it? And then just taking it in and just thinking, I better not back chat with you because it's not going to end well. It's...
No, but we, you know, in general, the team, if something needs sorting, you can almost sort it out yourselves as players anyway. It's, you know, it's Captain I remember calling meetings myself just with the group, nothing to do with the staff. It's just like, you know, what's wrong? What do we need to work on? Why are you not happy? And then we just, I go back and tell the manager, this is what we're thinking.
Yeah.
If you take it on board or not, you know, can we change this in training? I think there was one time when I think we'd lost, and I'd said to him, call it, the lads, you know, we were playing a lot of five-a-sides, we're not really doing set pieces, can we do a bit more shape work? Did it all, you know, he's quite superstitious, Owen Corfin, since he wanted to do the same thing if we won every, the following week. That's the way it was. If you lose, then they'll change the tracksuits or suits. It's a bit, you know,
I never noticed that. Actually,
you hear a lot of stories, though, about Coyle and the training methods and whatever.
Yeah.
Not signing Robbie Blake to be a tennis partner or
table tennis. Like, yeah.
But, you know, I think we did, he changed it that following week, took it on board. I think we beat, I think it's when we beat Stoke 5 actually. So the following week, a bit more again. But the moment you lose, then you go back to what he did before.
I think it was West Brom the week after.
Then you go back to five sides and a bit of this and that. You know, but listen, you have to make decisions, don't you? But in general, particularly in captain, you just try and go in. And I had a good relationship with all the managers, to be fair. It would always be, you know, there's a problem there, I think we need to do this, or can
manage it. You're like player liaison, then as captain, aren't you?
You've been around, been experienced enough to say, look, I think that's need to do this, or let's go and do some go-karting, or, you know, whatever it needs to be. Just this is what's going on, take it on board.
You say you had a good relationship with all the managers.
Yeah.
Did it become abundantly clear at sort of, I don't know, around January time that you weren't going to be retained by Dougie Friedman?
Wasn't clear because, I mean, it got to March, obviously. There was things going on. I was in the team, in and out of the team. It's just, I think something wasn't quite right, even from the first couple of weeks. I think his first game I might have scored late on and got a draw or something. I can't remember exactly. And he, you know, after the game, he was kind of, this is, you know, the younger boys were in there at the time. This is how the number nine plays. You know, brilliant, he's 33, 4, whatever it was. You know, I felt, oh, he's, you know, actually rating me a little bit, new manager, a bit of confidence. And then the following week, I think I was on the bench or something. I was like, what? Didn't understand it. And he didn't tell me. Whereas before, I would go in with the manager and say, look, I'm not going to play this game because I want to go for a bit of pace up front today against them, whatever it was. You take it on, fine. And I said to my mum, you could have given me a heads up on your captain, just tell me why I'm not playing. He was like, oh yeah, so you know, I always pick my team sort of three games ahead. I'm like, what? So even though I played really well for you in the first game, you were raving about me, yeah, but I wanted to do this. I was like, I just didn't get it. Where was an excuse? I just didn't get it.
It came across as a lottery from an outside looking in.
I didn't stand it. And it kind of left you as a player never quite knowing where you stand. The training, you never know if you're playing, you know if you're going to be in the squad. And a lot of players just felt a bit lost. I think you need to run in the team or understand the rotation. If you can do that, it's just communicate a bit more.
Because I was going to say, that drop down at the end, obviously championship level, was that sort of something that you sort of, you saw as a challenge, or were you a bit like, oh, I'm not sure, you know, I've played so long in the Premier League, you know. It's,
I'd be mad if we'd have gone down to League One and absolutely bored how to play. Yeah. It's about the club, isn't it? Can you do what you do? Obviously, I was getting a bit older, understanding all that kind of thing. Owen Coyle, you know, the new contract I got, wanted to keep me here and keep me here. It was fine. He went and, you know, things changed. Whether my age was similar to Dougie's or what the problem was, I'm not too sure. Sometimes, you know, maybe he saw me as a bit of a threat, blah, blah, blah. So I just got my job. There was accusations of me from him saying I'd down tools. I was in a bad influence with some of the players. I just wasn't buying into it, really.
I don't think anyone would have.
That just couldn't happen. That's the thing. If you've been part of the furniture of the club for that long, you're not just sending in a down tool.
No, it's not mine.
There's no reason, is there?
No. I don't. Listen, nobody likes not playing or being on the bench, but I was certainly not misbehaving or anything. It just wasn't my style. And it got to March time, obviously, we had the meeting, the chairman, and he sat me and said, look, we're not going to give you a new deal. I said, obviously disappointed. Why? No real reason. And I said, look, that's the way it's going to be. It'd be nice to finish on a high. Can we get to the playoffs and get promoted? That'd be great. And finishing it, that was the plan, and then it just went downhill from there.
Yeah. Do you feel as if you could have made an impact in that Blackpool game? You know, he started Rob Hall,
yeah,
and kind of thrown that to the Wolves, and then you wasn't even on the bench. Do you feel like you could have made that difference and got us.
I'd like to think so. Yeah, I'd think so. I think his team selection was dodgy. I think he changed it after half an hour, but yeah, it was difficult to. I mean, I was basically told to stay away for the last 2 or 3 weeks. I was just sat at home really, so I'm clearing my locker out. Thinking this is the last time I'm going to be here, really, and taking my stuff and just walking out. It's a bit sad.
It's just not fair to be disrespected like that. I haven't been here for so long, and then all of a sudden, just as if you're not wanted anymore.
Yeah, and a very big call on his part to go against Absolutely. Yourself when you've got the kind of good relationship with the fans that you do. I mean, and he was newish to the job.
I think he got beating people
on it almost immediately, didn't
it? There was my thinking at the time was, you know, going for the playoffs. I'm not involved. You know, I remember Zach Love coming up and, you know, being called up instead of me. Not a problem. And he's got to the point where he said, go away for the weekend, have a think, and, you know, decide how you want to go with it on Monday. I said, well, I just want to keep training, trying to get back in the team. Bearing in mind, the other players were saying, you shouldn't be playing, because the way you trained, I wasn't just sulking around. I was training really hard. I knew I should have been in the squad, in the 11, let alone the squad. And all the other players were saying that. I said, what's going on? I said, well, there's a breakdown in communication here. And he said, look, you don't need to. I said, look, if you don't want me around, you don't need the distraction of me going on with the club and whatever. I'll just stay away. And that was it. He was like, yeah, stay away. That was it. And you know, even when he said I wasn't getting the contract, yeah, it was awful. When I found out I wasn't getting the contract, I think it was my birthday as well. I said, look, keep it quiet. I just keep getting on. I don't want it coming out in the media. And within a few hours, I think it was out. So I didn't release any statements, and it came out. And again, it was just like a bit of a for a few days, and it was the best for me just to get out of the way. I think I agreed, so that was it.
And then it all went downhill from there. Didn't
it? Yeah. We had such a great opportunity that was just blown. I mean, the team, you're right, team selection against Blackpool wasn't great, but it was before that, the Leicester game as well, playing Butterfield instead of Sam Ricketts when we'd done literally nothing wrong, and you know the game was almost away from us before we could even do anything about it. Just, and we'd no one understood the selection a lot of the time, and that's been
just
a problem. For
I just saw the club. I mean, he came in. Obviously, I moved on and went to Preston. I had 2 great years there, and I loved the club. And
the promotion, people
got the promotion. It was, you know, remember the day I left after the game, I felt like my shoulders dropped, and I just wanted to be away from it, to be honest. I wasn't really enjoying it in the end. And obviously, the way, you know, doing the lap of the honour at the end, and Mr. Galtine came past me and shaved my head, it was kind of, really after 10 years, you know, it's a bit much.
Yeah, I think most of the fans wanted you to be due a testimony as well, but never came to anything in the end, did it?
Not really, no. I think I've got permission to have one. I think there was a bit of a conversation with Ken Anderson, 2.5, maybe. It was a meeting call anyway, and it lasted about 5 minutes. He walked off and said, you had a meeting going on, so it's kind of...
Well, that's not a surprise.
I imagine my shock.
And I was left with the Suzanne over at the hotel chatting, and I thought, yeah, really?
Yeah, but most of our Twitter questions are around the testimonials. Do you think with the new regime it could be a possibility in the future?
Potentially. Obviously, I'm a bit further away than I was, but yeah. I think you know, things were put in place. Obviously, I've got all UC's details. Andrew Dean, who's still here, does amazing work. We started to put things in place, how we would structure in terms of bringing I asked all the players at the time, everyone would come back. Whether we'd have a separate game or a game before a game, it was kind of, we'd start put the wheels in motion with it, so you never know. So things are quite fresh here still, and there's other priorities, I'm sure, with the club, and that's the most important thing. So maybe when it settles down, and
give it a few months.
The feel good aspect of the Legends game that they had just before the League One season, I think that honestly gave people a massive boost, which is why we started the season so well. So this would be the kind of thing to, I think, bring people back, get some interest.
I don't think I'm on. You know, I don't think I'm by myself. I don't think some of the players got the send off they deserved.
I don't think Gardner got his either.
There's a lot more than me that felt, you know, again, not deserving, but would like to have done something a bit different, and they would like to come back and spend a bit of time at the club again and put a game on, I'm sure. So it wouldn't be a problem in terms of getting the players to come back. I'm sure they would come back.
It's great to hear that everyone would, though, you know, wish it, you know, willing to be able to do that, you know, and obviously it was all about the players rather than, you know, it doesn't matter who's.
I think they would now. I mean, obviously, as I said, things have changed now. And it was always, you know, Campo and Stelios and Ricardo. I know they found it really difficult, as I said before, to even getting any access to the club, and it was kind of, it puts you off a little bit in terms of wanting to actually come back and help, doesn't it, when you've been treated a bit like that. And it's new ownership, and it's a is something that the club can probably try and do, whether they can come back and go around the lounge for a game. I was trying to get Campo over this weekend, actually, but he's...
He keeps tweeting and saying he wants to come. Yeah, you know, the best thing for me to do is come to Bolton. I was like, you do that.
I'll get him in next time. But he'll definitely come out.
Yep. While we're carrying on this positive vibe, I have to ask, how did it feel to score against Bayern Munich?
Yeah, it was good. I've not scored in Europe as well, so...
not a bad way to open the account.
Yeah. The stadium was just amazing. We went the day before and trained, and it was just like, wow, this is just... Obviously, when the draw came out, just a massive buzz for all the players, and just couldn't wait to get there, really. So, yeah, again, a few changes in the squad and things, one eye on the league, etc. But, yeah, just an amazing game.
Yeah, was the adjustment to travelling across Europe, compared to just doing domestic games there, was that a difficult transition to do? Or?
No, I think we did it pretty well. I think we...
Certainly the first season.
We travelled well. Rather than travelling back, so wherever we were playing 3 or 4 hours away, rather than travelling back and getting in the middle of the night, we used to stay. We'd do our kind of worn down
there in the morning, yeah.
And then we would travel back or stay for a couple of days. And I think we did one time where we flew straight into London on the Saturday, played Arsenal, Chelsea, and picked up a result.
Yeah.
So we kind of dealt with it pretty well. So Sam was clever in terms of preparation and recovery.
Because there's a lot more that goes into it, the logistics of it and everything. Yeah. It's all part of the setup, isn't it?
I think in general we did pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
With the following games, we did okay, I think.
Because I know you hear, sort of in modern day, managers like Klopp and Pep are all complaining now that the players are too knackered and too many games.
Yeah, and it's like a Burnley situation when they finished seventh, and then obviously last year struggled a little bit to deal with.
And you're thinking you've got millions, you've got logistics people, you've got people literally assigned to dealing with that. Yeah. Surely.
I think the Europa one's an interest. If you offered it to any of the teams outside the top six at the start of season, I'm not sure if that many would take it if you offered it.
Well, because it's as far as the priority, isn't it? Which is such a shame, because from a fan's perspective, we love being able to do this.
We knew how hard it was to qualify, and that was brilliant. And then we just look forward to the draws, Atletico Madrid, all these games.
Amazing
play,
game. That was insane.
Did well enough.
Well, we were robbed.
I'm going to Red Star in that
match. Being able to say it until Arsenal did it, that we were the ones who'd only beaten Red Star, the only interesting team in my life. Not bad.
they were brilliant times. Even the fans coming over, we'd go for walks, and all the fans would be in the pubs and wherever we were, Sunny Beach, wherever it was.
50p a pint, whatever. Yeah, I didn't have to pay for a pint. I was any self-respecting Bolton fan to get their wallet out in there.
And I was a bit young to be doing European nights when I went in, because I was probably at school the next day. But the closest I got to doing that was I'd gone on the Athens pre-season trip.
Yeah.
Phil Gartz had arranged that through family, but. I was there throughout the whole week, seeing you training and then go to the match, and I was on the bus to the play AK Athens. That was some setup, and you sort of got to see all the behind the scenes stuff. It was it was an incredible setup you had, and eating together all your pre meals and everything. It was
quite fascinating. I said before, we were given every opportunity to succeed because of all the different departments. We were all sort of kind of headhunted and we were all brought in. And obviously, when Sam left, most of those got jobs in Chelsea. Mike Ford was amazing. He was over in the States now, NFL stuff. And we had incredible staff, the physios, we had people from Asia would come and these new techniques in terms of getting us recovered and ready for the next game. It was brilliant. We were spoiled, but it was a good opportunity.
Yeah. And I bet you had quite a bit of say in that as well. Being captain, you could then arrange what the team was doing then and whatever. You sort of control what the players wanted to do.
The cryotherapy wasn't the chamber up at Exton we had was kind of getting a few players in there was tough, but
pushing them along into it, encouraging it. But
it's the long term benefits, isn't it? Because a lot of the big signings that were made, they were sort of people who were going into their 30s or whatever, and the fact that they managed to turn them out week in, week out, shows that the team behind the team is obviously doing good work.
We were, it's changed slightly now in terms of recovery. Some people, coming Sunday after Monday off, but it's all relative, and if it's working, then you stick to it. But yeah, we were given every opportunity to do well. I think, the second half of my career where Wenger came in, it became more professional, because back in the day it was turn up at 10:15, train for an hour, go down the pub, really. Literally that. Now it's kind of, you're getting pre-training, the foreign players would come in, and the English boys would be like, I'm in the gym before training, what are they doing? Stretching off and getting one of
that. Show you how it's done. That's the influence.
We were playing table tennis. But no, it was good. And I played till I'm 38, probably done another year. I think players are probably going to play on UC, for instance, could have get to probably 50 the way he looks at himself.
You see Darren Murphy now, 36, and probably one of the first lads going out to the
pitch. We seem to have a tradition of, you know, having like sort of that top bracket of players, you know, going towards the end of the careers, and yet they still manage to perform at such a high level. It's, you know, it's probably commend to the physio team. That's and all right, sorts to keep them in good shape. But I think, you know, saying the influence that the senior players had in that squad at the time, and, you know, if push games are shoved, then you'd sort of get the international players doing it. And I think sort of that's what the fans would be looking for. Now, obviously, Keith and David Flitcroft have come in, done a great job, but in summer it was all up in the air as two was coming in. You're talking about coaching, and I think everyone sort of wanted a 2K's reunion.
Yeah,
I mean, was there ever an approach? Was there ever an approach from Bolton at all? No. Would it be? No.
And to be fair, I never applied for the job. There's a couple of times where you know, I would have come in and helped, you know, with the coaching and when I was around. But no, not at the time. There was never any offers at all, really. No, so.
I was very surprised that Kevin Nolan's still out of work as manager, because there was a big sort of push, wasn't there?
Everyone got excited on that soccer AM thing, weren't they?
And that's the thing, Keith was probably the massively sensible choice, especially with the flip-flop, but there was sort of that sentimental aspect, certainly from my part, where you think, well, if Kevin Nolan came in to come back,
it'd be interesting to see how he would have done. If he goes back in, he did well in his first year of counselling and struggled a bit, but I think he'll go back in. And again, he was, for someone so young when I came, he was just already a leader, really. He was already a big part of that dressing room. Probably the best captain I played under, actually. Just commanded that respect, and for someone so young, he was kind of a bit different, really. But he was good in there. Did all the right things, called meetings at the right times. And bearing in mind, there were some big characters in there as well.
I mean, you shared the armband with Gary Speed as well at the time, as well, didn't you? I mean, obviously that's, you know, it's obviously a really sad.
Yeah, it was sad. Yeah, player he was in the top lad who came, who was fit as a fiddle. Again, the way he trained, the way he pushed himself in the gym at his age, the stats that he always covered were as good as someone who was 21. He was just credit to the way he was as a good pro, really.
And people at Newcastle say that, you know, the start of their little decline was when he left. It was sort of, you know, the big characters like him and Shearer started to go, and it all fell apart. Yeah. But, you know, to our benefit,
it's hard to replace people like that, isn't it? So I think it was a great signing for us.
Was it a bit of a shock to the system for you when you got the captaincy after Nolan sort of went to Newcastle?
I remember the sort of conversations. There was a bit of, you know, Gary Mixon was having a bit of a laugh, saying, you know, do you want it kind of thing? I said, yeah, I'll take it.
The natural choice.
Oh, go on then.
You know, didn't go to a vote or anything like, you know, some people do now. But,
That worked out well, didn't
it? People shy away from the captaincy now, but I just don't understand why.
It's because of the pressure. I mean, if you talk about the Xhaka situation, I mean, clearly it messes with your head if you're not probably strong enough to be able to deal with it.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I just loved it. I think the first game at Spurs showed that.
Fantastic.
Got two goals and just, you know.
Yeah, there was no like teething period when you first got it. So.
I was just proud, really. Just, I think it was the right time, the right age. I just loved the responsibility, what came with it in terms of.
Yeah, you've grown and you've matured a bit more.
Yeah, being able to, you know, pass things on. It's just the role as a whole, I just really enjoyed the responsibility of it. And, I just felt really proud in every time I put the armband on, really. It was, again, going back to Dougie when we played Blackburn here, I wasn't playing at the time. I got called into the office. I thought, oh, here we go. I'm going to be in the stands or something. He said, right, you're playing. I'm like, brilliant.
So now you're like, yes.
So I'm going to start. So I was like, oh, great, yeah, thanks. And then he said, I want Zach to be captain. I'll play then. So again, my mind
was
like,
that,
yeah. I can't believe it. I was like, and he sort of turned around and went, that's the response I want. No, he didn't.
Not planned at all.
But yeah, it's, no, I, you know, I just said I'm not going to play for my captain. I'll be captain until, you know, if you tell me I'm not captain, then it's your decision. But it's not a deal.
Well, one thing I've always wanted to ask you, then we're going to get on to the Twitter questions. One thing I've always wanted to ask: we play in the cup run that you had with Chesterfield at the start, scored a hat trick against us. Was there ever any kind of approach then?
No.
It just seems strange considering we offered the exact same thing to Tom Eaves when he did it.
This is my point. I mean, he's doing all right now, isn't he, Tom Eaves? But, you know, I think we didn't want to make that same mistake again, because that would have been a bit of an oversight, given what's happened since.
I think, you know, there's only really Southampton that came in at the end of that season, so there was no other sort of concrete offers to develop at all that I knew of, anyway.
Yeah, that's a shame. I mean, the last question I sort of had from a personal point of view before you get on to this week's questions was current situation at Bolton, obviously everything that happened in summer, obviously a massive shame to see it change over the last 10 years, you know, and what sort of happened to it. You know, I mean, obviously everyone's ecstatic that it survived and stuff like that. I mean, you know, what would it have meant to you if it had gone, you know, I mean, the connection that you had was valued. Yeah.
It was certainly worrying times for everyone concerned. You know, a few phone calls at the time with staff that I know that are still here, and they were all, you know, really upset and concerned about it.
I bet you sort of just felt a bit helpless, didn't you? As if like,
yeah,
I can't just watch this happen.
You do. No. I think you felt almost angry at the way that Ken had sort of just left it to rot. Really, I mean, he's never here, was he? You know, when I came back, it was actually who was running the club. It was like no one was accountable for what was going on. Just disgusting really to see, but just I think there's a bit more optimism around the place now, isn't
there?
I think Keith and Flitter's been local, they're putting that enthusiasm and energy which rubbing off on the fans. You can see, you know, from afar, you know, I watch all the videos and reports and listen to what's going on and stuff, and everyone just seems to be just trying to reconnect, you know, going doing the community things. It's got to be done. It's a massive part of the responsibility as players and managers to get out there and do all those kind of things, because for the last few years it just felt the fans have just been treated really poorly.
I mean, I'm sure you've sort of kept an eye on when the youngsters first started out at the start of the season. Was there anyone that you sort of likened yourself to in that? I mean, obviously Eddie Brown coming through the ranks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Could you ever see them, you know, emulating you at all? With, you know, do you have any on your radar?
I've not managed to watch. I think they played on Sky a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Blackpool.
Seen,
yeah.
So, you know, just watching and reading the reports, you know, trying to get bits on YouTube here and there, but seems like, you know, even though they were losing heavily, the fans were right behind them, which was nice.
Yeah, they always are.
Just to put a bit of pride back in the shirt.
Absolutely.
It was a difficult ask of them for being so young. I mean, they were what, 16, 17, 18
years
old, kids thrown in at the deep end a little bit, but
they did all right first couple of games, and then and then that's what happened with Doncaster, we're just like, no more.
No, but I think, you know, hopefully the academy and all those, there's no doubt about it, there's been a fallout with the academy and first team over a period of time. I think that needs to get back together.
Absolutely, it'd be great to see part of it.
Yeah, just
after
the training, just integrate it all down there, so they give an opportunity to get into the first team. There's no doubt about it. They're going to need to have one or two players coming through over the next few years in terms of finances.
Good stuff.
Right, okay.
Twitter questions.
We'll move on to some Twitter questions that people have submitted. So first up is at Matt Clough, who wrote the biography for Lofty. He's asking, would love to know his memories of being asked to model for that statue.
Yeah, again, obviously carrying his coffin and all those kind of things were, you know, emotional to do. I think to do that, it was, just proud to be asked to, really. Apparently we were a similar size and whatnot, and similar play style. You got a few more goals than me, obviously, but...
did you get much chance to speak with Nat while you were playing?
Not much, only a couple of passing by at the ground really after games or before games and stuff. So not didn't meet him too many times now. But the statue thing was interesting. Just going into one of the suites up here somewhere, and it was just a round podium with about, I don't know, about 300 marks around it, and literally standing on it with a pair of pants on and a ball, and changed it. Actually took a picture, changed it, went all the way around to about 4 hours. Not being able to move, it was kind of a long process, but I think it's
and results turned out.
Yeah, it looks good.
Did it feel like it was kind of destined that you were going to get to the cup final that the year he passed away?
Yeah, it did. That was a tough one to take, that one. I think it's close to I've come to point, I think. But I think the FA Cup's always, I've always had a love affair with the FA Cup. See, Southampton missed out on the squad, semi-final with Chesterfield, and the semi-final was tough. I've never seen that game back either.
I just choose to go with the 5-0 against Scotland and beat them
all. Yeah, that was nice, but it was disappointing. I think it would be nice to get to the final, and you didn't know it was quite going to happen, but it was good to.
At BDUFC, Flack has asked, who was your favourite post-Allardyce strike partner?
Good question. Post-Allardyce? Don't know.
We're listing this like post-Premier
League.
Let's see.
Daniel Sturridge,
yeah.
Ivan Kosnic.
Klaus was top lad, yeah.
Amanda was punched down last week.
Not going to go with Amanda then.
Duke.
We can't say now because
he was in the championship. I think this was the thing we couldn't understand why you went on the side, because I think the strikers instead were Sordell, Craig Davis, Sordell and Gogg.
I think he'd done his shoulder, hadn't he, Davin and Gogg?
He did, yeah.
So you think, there you go, I'm going to come in, and Destiny's kind of made him opening, but still no. But probably Daniel Sturridge is probably the best player. I think his quality, he reminded me of an Elker a lot in the way he could just drop the shoulder and change left foot, right foot. He was a class act. So in terms of the quality, be him probably. Yeah.
He's also asked another question. Who is you feel was the most underrated player during your time at Bolton?
Probably go Kevin Nolan. Just in terms of the chat we've had with England and things, I think as a captain, as a player, he's clever the way he got into positions. And I'd probably say him.
I'm going to ask one. what was it like? What was Mario Jardel like in training? Because apparently John Waters was on a podcast recently and he said that he couldn't move, he's slow as anything, but he still had that clinical finish.
Yeah, he was a good finisher. The old toe bunger. He was interested. I think a bit strange as a character. We'd be in the gym and he'd go in and put a DVD on of his 150 goals or whatever he'd scored, wherever he was. Is that your twin brother?
Out of all of them, the most prized with the goals against Walsall in the cup, I'm sure.
Yeah. No, I remember, cause I think he came on at Portsmouth for me and made his debut, I think, and he was carrying a bit of weight at the time, wasn't he, and whatnot, but he was odd around the dressing room. He was funny, but he was a little bit odd. Yeah.
Some of them work out, some of them don't work out.
he was interesting. He scored some cracking goals, by the way. He took it out DVD.
At Trotter Tenzo, the lieutenant who also writes for the Line of Vienna, has asked, which player did you have the most chemistry with, do you feel?
Probably Kevin Nolan. Mm-hmm. I think we just had, he was kind of given that little role just behind where he could just gamble and take up good positions. So he just seemed to have a really good understanding. And obviously he set me up for that goal
I'd love to see the stats on that. I'm sure he would as well, like goals and assists between each other.
There's just such a natural link up
between
them.
I just think it's a kind of relationship. We got on really well at training, socially. Nicky Hunt and people, we each had a nice friendship there as well, which helps. I think you take that onto the pitch with you and you can see the way you look back at, I always look at the celebrations of teams, you can really see like if the dressing room was really together and we were just all in together, wasn't it?
Yeah, do you still see much of them nowadays, or is it...?
Occasionally, just on the media circuit a little bit, every now and then. I don't tell you quite a bit at the minute, can I? So, he still looks the same, but just hopefully he'll get back in. I'm sure he had one or two opportunities to go back in and manage and be the right one, hopefully, for him, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, do you enjoy your TV punditry work when you get a chance to do it? Is that...?
Yeah, it's good, yeah. I think, obviously, the managing, I didn't do any because I wanted to focus on managing, and then I've done the move to Dorset. Last August, and then just getting to let people know I'm available to do a bit more. So I've been quite busy doing some MLS games. I was up at Premier League Productions on Wednesday, Thursday, I think it was, doing it. I had to pick my best 11 team. Champions League next week. I've got an Amazon TV thing on Monday, so it's quite varied and keeps it interesting. Just doing the usual BT Sports and all these kind of things. It's good. I was with Steve Bauer on Wednesday. These guys are brilliant at what they do and stuff. Did one with Clive Tilbs, he was a bit overweight my first time. And I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now, so I'm quite comfortable doing it.
It's good to see you doing it though, because it's nice to have someone who actually knows the ins and outs of the club doing it as opposed to
getting Keith Andrews back into the sky.
He's never off it,
is he? It's a little niche for it, isn't it? Yeah.
That's good.
Bit of variation.
Okay, and finally, Matt Woods asked, how did you rate Nakata against the other superstars we had at the time?
Yeah, good player. I think he came with his entourage, didn't he? His stylists and hair people. He had always people around him.
Well, he's actually Japanese fans as well. Probably
No, he was good. He was a big name. Probably didn't play as much as he probably would have liked. I think, but we had such great players as well. He was a good player. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, well,
fantastic.
Yeah,
stuff.
Thanks for coming.
We're going for today. Another win, is it?
Yeah, hope so.
Have you seen the team? I think we've got a decent show.
Yeah.
Right in Melinda the back, so
I'm a bit, you know,
well, what's your prediction?
Not familiar with a lot of the players, so nice just to see, I mean, to throw a team together so quickly and pick up some results, hopefully, they'll bond. And
you said it was a Blackpool game, I mean, Bridcar being lost within about 15
minutes. Yeah, I thought he played well, battled well. I was quite impressed by, you know, the fitness levels and the way he had a go. This team's only been together a few weeks, haven't they? So.
Yeah, what's your shout for today?
We're going for a home win. 2-1.
Good stuff.
That's
what we like to do. 3-1.
Against Joey Barton as well.
That'd be great. Yeah.
And last thing for you, what do you think for the rest of the season? What's your prediction for bottom for the rest of the season?
I don't know. I think it's going to be hard, isn't it? That's not fit, you know.
Enjoy it for what it is.
But I think if they can get into the positive figures, the teams aren't doing so well above them. You know, MK Dons, Tranmere, they're struggling. I think they've lost 10 games already. So if they can get a bit of momentum, start clawing in, you never know, it's going to be tough, but hopefully they'll give it a go. It's going to be tough, but if it's next year in League 2, just keep building.
So
we'll
be
stop,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put for our sins.
Some new grounds to go and visit.
Mum might have been doing the coverage for us.
Yeah.
No, it'd be great to have you back on again soon.
No,
thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
Cheers.
Okay,
cheers.